Steve is going to come and read for us the passage of Scripture.
The reading that we're going to go through now is Luke 23, verses 26 to 43. And in your church pew Bible, it's 1064. So, let us hear the word of God as it is written in Luke chapter 23, from verse 26 to the end of the chapter. This is entitled The Crucifixion. And as they led him, Jesus, away, they seized one Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. And there followed him a great multitude of people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning on them, Jesus said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and one on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by watching, but the rulers scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine, and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Amen, and may the Lord add his blessing to his word.
As OM and Fiona is part of this family, we ordinary people, we are a fellowship of people from around the world that we long to see people hearing the gospel of the kingdom. And when James asked me to continue in the series that you have started, how can we shoot off heaven? I have to say that it took me a while and quite a bit of reading to go, how can we condense these huge topics into, you know, a short time of sharing in the understanding that Jesus spoke more about hell than he spoke about heaven. Did you know that? So the fact that Jesus spoke so much about hell, and James is going to be expanding next week about this, it brings us to the point that you really need to take this serious. Because why would he waste his breath talking about something that wasn't real? So the reality of hell is there in contrast with the reality of heaven. Do you see what I'm saying? And now when we read this passage of the crucifixion that Steve so eloquently read for us this morning, we can feel like, yeah, I have heard that before again. Because we have become so accustomed, because of the grace of God over the years, over the centuries here in the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, when the gospel had been proclaimed from Westminster and to the different cathedrals around the nation, when France was being destroyed by the revolution, revival broke out and the word of God was proclaimed to us. And today in the 21st century, we take it for granted. Worst of all, some of us have not even read the Bible. But then we argue about, well, theologically speaking, or the word of God said, and I always like to say, and we had a conversation with James yesterday, and I always want to say, have you actually read the Bible, brother or sister? Because sometimes we become so accustomed to God's word that men and women gave their lives for us to have it in our own language, and we take it for granted. Have you noticed that? We go to the scriptures, and we see one of the most powerful passages that we can find. When the writer opened this story of what happened, Dr. Luke, doing all his research, and described that scene at the cross, when the creator of heaven and earth, Jesus incarnate, died in our place, or was crucified in our place, and just about to die, received the mockery of the world that represent you and I, incidentally. Everybody mocking at him when he was there on our behalf. But one of the men, one of the thieves, realizing his condition, turned to him and said, Lord, will you remember me when you come in your kingdom? And Jesus, at that point, opened the doors of paradise. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Do you guys realize the significance of this? Men separated from God. And on the cross, Jesus reconciled himself. And sometimes we just say, yeah, we just read it as another passage there. This is the answer. It's like people with a terminal disease finding the medicine. And we go, oh, that's cool. Yeah, let me go and go back to the news at 10. The contrast. We are so concerned with the temporary, with things that will waste away, with our appearance, with what we have, and we neglect what is eternal. So, how can we be sure of heaven? Can we be sure of heaven? And the answer is absolutely, without question, yes, but. Jesus on the cross, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. The most exciting news of history 2,000 years ago. But today, when you ask people about heaven, they have the most bizarre ideas of what this is all about. Some Christians think that you're going to be floating around playing harps in a disembodied state of, you know, your soul's playing harp. How can you play a harp without a body? I don't know. But some people believe that. Or that you're floating on clouds. That's not the Bible. Or that you're going to be a cupid, you know, with an arrow. That is actually a pagan style that go from mythology from the Greeks. Or there are some people that say a statement like this. I don't believe in the afterlife, so I don't have to spend my whole life fearing hell or fearing heaven even more. For whatever the tortures of hell, I think boredom of heaven would be even worse. As if you not believing in something would make any difference at all. Oh, I don't believe that the speed camera is going to caught me if I'm driving at 80 miles per hour in a 30 zone. Well, you can believe as hard as you want that won't happen, but guess what? it will. And this man, Isaac Asimov, some of you who are into science fiction, was one of a prolific writer of science fiction, and if you like the films like Star Wars, some of his turns were used in the films, and actually we use it day by day. One term that he created, robots. He is the creator of that word. He died a few years ago. But do you see how... What are you talking about, man? You may be very intelligent, but the fact that you don't believe in something doesn't take away the fact that may be true. Look at this other statement. Whenever I think about heaven, it makes me depressed. I would rather cease to exist when I die. I can't stand the thought of endless boring tedium. To me, heaven doesn't sound much better than hell. I would rather be annihilated than spend eternity like that. The sad thing about this is that when I was doing the research, this is a quote from Randy Alcorn, who wrote a lot about heaven. He heard this statement from an evangelical pastor. That pastor came to Andrew Randy Holton, and that's what he said about heaven. Brothers and sisters, if that is your idea of heaven, a place where it's, oh, we're going to be just floating around in eternity. Oh, it's going to be so boring. You miss the plot. That is not the biblical concept of heaven. You see, what the Bible has to say in Revelation, describing a little bit, you know, this is just one of the verses, Revelation 22, 3 and 5. No longer there will be any curse. The curse of death, the curse of sickness is gone. God's servant will serve him forever. They will see his face and they will reign forever and ever. Now, if you are serving, I would suggest to you that you won't be feeling their thumbs, you know, playing around or getting bored. You're going to be serving him. The fact is that you're going to be seeing Jesus face to face. Everything is completely in front of you. You're going to be reigning. And actually, the whole idea of a new heaven, a new earth is presented here for eternity. Have you ever seen animals... in the zoo, there will be the closest otters or animals there, and they are all very sad in the water, and they don't move around at all. Well, that's your experience, I'm very sorry, because that's not what happened. The animals are jumping up and down, and they're playing around, and it's great. Or to see the animals in the fields, you live in a city, so... You know, it's a bit difficult to see animals around. But where I live, it's in the middle of the countryside. Or some people say in the middle of nowhere, which I object profusely. But there are sheep and there are cows and they are jumping up and down. You know what? That's the God that created everything. A God that is fun. A God that is enjoying music. He delights in the praises of his people. Heaven is anything but boring. Heaven is everything but quiet. Heaven is anything but dull. No believer who understands what Scripture says about eternal life will ever see it as dull, boring, and dreadful. Randy Alcorn in one of his books. The other thing that Christians do is Christians often talk about living with God in heaven forever. But the fact is that biblical teaching is richer than that. It's much more than that. It tells us there will be a new heaven, a new earth, an entirely renewed creation, and we will live with God there. You see, we are so concerned where we want to go after we die. There is nothing wrong with that, perhaps, but actually you are focusing on you. And we need to understand that the Bible itself is about God. And when we are invited into fellowship with God, it's taking us away from the individualistic me, and it's taking us to the fullness of who God is. Do you see the difference on that? So when we are thinking, where will I go where I die? It's like me going to Chile, right? And in order to get to Chile, I need to fly over. But there is no direct flight unless I fly with British Airways, which I could, but it's a bit more expensive and sometimes they don't fly. So I do have to have a stopover, right? So you're asking me, Ivan, where are you going? And I say, I'm going to France. What? No, that's a stopover. Where are you really going? Oh, I'm going to Chile, beautiful Chile. You see what I'm saying? So if we concentrate on where I'm going after I die, it's like going to the stopover in an airport terminal. It may be okay, I mean, it's great, you know, but that's not really the full picture. Jesus promised a new heaven and a new earth, where everything will be restored, but not like this one where we live in. There will also be a new kind of unification of heaven and earth. There will be joining of heaven and earth in His creation. God's future special dwelling place will be there with His people on new earth. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, the dwelling place of God with man. He will dwell with them, and God Himself will be with them. Revelation 21:3. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be on the new earth, Revelation 22:1. You see, the problem is, we are broken. Some of you who were here yesterday, we talked a little bit about this. So why do we need a new earth? Well, I was listening to Radio 4, yes, I confess, I was listening to Radio 4 yesterday, and one of the panelists was saying, when I was a child, all those years ago, I used to watch, my mom used to send me to wash the car, but I used to leave a square in the front of the car, so it would contrast with a clean car, so she would know that I really washed the car. But you know the difference between then and now? The number of mosquitoes in front of the car. Have you noticed that? That now the vehicles don't have that many bugs in front of it. Some of us may think, oh, that's great, I don't have to clean it that much. The side effect of that is the flora and fauna of our nation is being reduced. Have you ever heard how many times we are talking about bees disappearing? And we say, well, who cares? Well, we should care. Because it's affecting the ecosystem. Yeah, we are talking about the species disappearing. This world is actually broken. Because when man sinned, in Genesis 3, creation itself was affected. The seas become salty. That's why we, the Jews, believe that the sea carries death. Because if you're in the middle of the ocean, Jamie and I have been as sailors, you know, if you are in the middle of the ocean and you don't run out of water, you know, the sea looks pretty appealing. But you drink that water and you are dead. Very soon. In the new heaven and the new earth, the Bible said that seas will be fresh water. Did you know that? That's in the Bible. Revelation speak of a new heaven and a new earth, and we desperately need that. Pollution everywhere. Men looking for finance, regardless of what, just look at what happened during the crisis, the financial crisis, and we have learned. Domestic violence. Kids growing up without a dad or without a mom because of broken hearts. Famine. War. And sometimes we present, you know, there is very great games on computers at the moment, but it's all glorifying war and, you know, shooting around. How many kills can you have? Without realizing, actually, in war it's real people that are dying. And those soldiers that see that are broken. And post-traumatic stress disorder is not cool. It's destroying families. It's destroying individuals. And it's human slavery. You know, you can wash your car in some places with people doing a fantastic job, and those people have been trafficked. And we don't even notice. We live in a broken world. Broken, desperately needing a savior. But that was not God's plan. God's plan was perfect. But we spoil it with our sin. That was Genesis 3, even today. We prefer to do what is affecting us and what is pleasing to us, regardless of the consequences. And we try to cover up. Even Christians, some of us present a face in front of other people of holiness. Oh, I am so holy. But God knows our hearts. And it comes a point in our life, brothers and sisters, that we need to stop playing. God knows who we are. He knows your heart. He knows my heart. Even before a thought is in my mouth, you know it completely, Lord. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? So, if you know that, but please remember, you cannot fool God. You can fool Jim. And say, oh yeah, Pastor, I'm great. I'm in cloud nine. But you're struggling. Be real. If you're struggling, that's okay. It's part of the journey. Because we have been redeemed, but we are still work in progress. Be real. Because it's only when you acknowledge who you are that God can work into your life. God's plan is perfect. He sent Jesus because we couldn't. And this is important for you who are a church goer. It's not enough to believe. Because if you only believe, it doesn't make you any better than a demon. Did you know that? Because, believe me, demons do believe. But doesn't make any difference whatsoever. So if you are saying in your heart, yeah, I believe, but make no difference to your lifestyle, you're in trouble. Because it's not enough. Heaven, the new heaven and new earth, is not just for everyone. Have you been in a funeral? And they say, well, dear so-and-so, and I'm sorry if you have lost a dear one. But actually, I'm not sorry. I need to say this. Because we hear these words say, oh, he's now in heaven with our Lord. Is he? Is she? People, there is only one way to go. This is why Christianity is so unpopular around the world. Because it's exclusive. There is one way, one mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ. He died on the cross, not just because he wanted to be cool and a superhero, because it was the only way. Now, when you are rejecting Jesus and his message, you are rejecting the whole pack. Because there is no way that you can go from brokenness to a God's plan unless you accept Jesus in your life and makes a difference in your daily life. It's not about believing, just believing. You have to obey. And Jesus came down because there was no one that could have set us free. Jesus had to die on the cross to open the way for us. So the passage that we have read is so significant because when he said to the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise, he opened the gates of eternity to that man and to us, because he rose again on the third day. And he is opening that relationship with us. But you have to turn. Metanoia, we talked about last night, but it's so important. You cannot say, I believe in God, I am allowing God to work in my life, and you can continue doing what you were doing because you are fooling yourself. There is no way that if you are a follower of Christ, you can continue doing the things that are wrong. You know that are wrong. Now it is hard, because if you are in alcohol, in a vice, in drugs, it takes time. But it's not right to continue doing it without asking for somebody to help you, seeking help. You know, no matter how much society will tell you that something is right, doesn't make it right if God says it's wrong. No matter how much society tells you that something is right, if God said it's wrong, I prefer to believe what God has to say. At the end of the day, it's his terms of the agreement, not ours. And you need to trust. On your own, on my own, I can't. I desperately need God to help me through. And you know what? George Verwer, the founder of Operation Mobilization, often say when two or three of God's people gather together, eventually there'll be a mess. And I used to say, what? But it's actually true. Because you know, in a conversation of two people, you are present. And you are part of the problem. It's not always the other person. You too are part of the issue. But with God's help, we can actually negotiate. You see, my wife, Joanne, she's beautiful. She's great. But sometimes she tells me that I'm wrong. And I really don't like that. But when I accept what she's saying because she's telling me in love, it often works for the better. Because she is able to see things in me that I often miss. Because I'm so preoccupied with other things that I don't notice those other things. I'm sure that that's only me. That doesn't happen to you. So I'm just talking about me in this case. When God came to us, He's telling us He said who we are and what He would like us to be. He is teaching us how to turn back to where we were meant to be, to that relationship, communion with God that restore us into the perfect plan of God. But that is a process. So you don't give up because you sometimes sin. Brothers, if any of one sin, you have an advocate in Christ. But the principles of repentance and turning away is still there. May I plead with you, if you are struggling with sin, be it pornography, sex, drugs, unlawful relationship, whatever it may be, is different for each one of us. Don't try to cover it up. Because at the end of the day, you have to give account to the eternal God that is omnipresent. What are we trying to do? Trying to fool God? You can't. But He offered you freedom. It's only when we actually come to Him, as ragamuffin, my favorite word, and say, Lord, I'm struggling. When His grace is sufficient for us and help us to stand up and say, don't be afraid, I am with you, I will help you. And at this point we need to realize, and I said it last night, and it is so important, that the moment that we restore relationship with Christ, our fellowship with Christ, does not mean that all our problems will go away. Why not? Because we are still here in a broken earth. This is not our final destination, guys. We are still waiting for passport control. We are still waiting for that. But we have the problem. We have the ticket in our hand. Jesus has set us free. We are heading there. We are not there yet. So therefore, if you are sick, you know, Jesus can heal you. The Bible says so, I believe it with all my heart, but it may not necessarily happen now. I have a 20-year-old with an ME. She can hardly walk by herself. She needs to use a wheelchair. But she is content. Not because she has to use a wheelchair to go to the garden center when she can't get out of the house, but because she knows that this is temporary. She knows that God is in control, and she knows that one day in the new heaven, new earth, a glorified body, a new body is there. This is temporary. Whatever you're going through, your family problems, God is able to help you through them. Don't ask God to take you out of that situation. He wants to build you up through that situation so you can be a blessing to others. Restoration of God's perfect plan. And that's why we need a new heaven and a new earth. Colossians 1:16 and 2:20 said, for by Him, Jesus, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. All things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together, that in everything He might have the preeminence. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, to reconcile to Himself all things, whatever on earth in heaven, making peace by the blood of by His blood on the cross. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in Him and for Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth. This is the Jesus that we proclaim. Not a flimsy crucifix there that you put on the side of the bed or on the wall. No. A figure that of your imagination, by the real incarnate Son of God that died in your place. If you take it lightly, it's to your peril. But if you take it seriously, it's the answer of God for your eternal life. And this is a promise of God to you and I. And then when we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's a prayer that is actually very significant because it's twofolded. In order for His will to be done, you have to submit your will to His will. So it's not, may my will be done, Lord, and hopefully you will agree with what I said, but trust Him that He knows better and that His will on this earth will be done. But it's more than that. What we are praying is that His kingdom of righteousness, of justice, of peace, of love will prevail. And that, brothers and sisters, is coming. Because the Bible said that this earth that is crying for redemption one day will be unified with what Jesus promised of new heaven and new earth, and you can be part of it. But only through Jesus. So what some people said at funerals, and this person is with Jesus, yes, if. But the chance to make that decision is now. And the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, just like the waters cover the sea. The Bible is full of these promises, but it's conditional. You may have heard this gospel before, but unless you have taken to heart and you take action, you are not better than the spiritual beings that are heading to the place where James is going to be speaking to us next week. This message is urgent. Because this is not a cozy message, people. This has eternal consequences. Heaven and earth is real. Heaven and earth is promised to you and I. But there is no other way. There is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved. Jesus is the only way. But the promise is greater. So when you think of heaven, when you think of the new earth, imagine everything beautiful on this created earth and take away everything that is wrong, and it's going to be even better. Even better. It's real. It's coming. My encouragement to you, if you have not made a decision for Christ, don't wait. What are you waiting for? I mean, your excuses, I think you're running out of them, but you perhaps are a little bit stubborn. But it's only one way. And Jesus, just like the thief on the cross, if you submit to him, if you turn, if you trust, if you follow, he will also say to you, welcome. You will be with me in paradise. We don't long to die. We want to enjoy every day of our life that he gave us so that we can be a blessing to others around us. Because we are the hope of the world. We need to grow, fellowship, Bible study, so that we can go to a hurt world and bring this message of reconciliation. We are not bringing religion. We are not bringing your order of the service. We are not bringing the hymn that you sing. We are bringing Jesus, which is bigger. So that people in Latin countries can sing in Portuguese and Spanish. People in Africa can sing in Swahili or whatever African language they go. In China with Mandarin, Cantonese or whatever language. Jesus is beyond culture, beyond structure. Jesus is bigger. So is heaven. So is new earth. And it's waiting for you through Jesus Christ. Let's pray.